Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona. We got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Hey now.
And running the boards is Joey D.
Hello.
On today's show, we will get some comic book talk from BJ. We will talk some television and some movies that are coming to the screen, maybe sooner than later, maybe returning, and maybe later than sooner. We'll have to see how that goes. And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. We have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Odyssey. Oh, my goodness.
Do it.
Yes. And you can do all of that. Send us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. That'll be fun because then we can talk about fun, nerdy things. I mean, we're talking about fun, nerdy things, but I want to talk to you out there listening to me right now because that'll be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It is comic book day. Wednesday is comic book day. If your local comic book store puts them out, you should go pick them up because your pull box is probably pretty full right now. Mm-hmm. BJ, I know that you read some comics and you got one to talk about today, right?
Well, and I'm going to show you this, because I want you to see Spider-Man's new uniform and see how it's causing all sorts of a stir there. There's his new uni.
Oh, that is interesting. That kind of reminds me of when Superman went blue for a while. And nobody liked it. How are people feeling about this one? Because that seems a little weird.
Yeah, it is totally like not the colors. If I said, hey, you could hardly tell that's a spider on his back. But this is all because he's got all his fancy gear in there to basically have all of the folks that follow his app. Get to follow him on his adventures and even get to comment on. You know, it's a nice. If you will, it's a comment on how social networking is so prevalent that Spider-Man has to take people with him while he's fighting crime.
So,
and they get to even comment, like they go, Spider-Man, we want you to say this as a quip. We want you to joke about this. Because they can see through his lenses.
Oh my goodness, that's so weird.
I hope he remembers to turn the camera off when he has to take a whiz.
Well, I think when you're punching the guts out of somebody, maybe the whiz is not the worst thing you can see. He's being live streamed.
So ew.
So that's what's going on. He's got that in his life, and also, there's a whole lot going on, including a romantic story where Robbie Robertson, who is the son of Joe Robertson, who was the assistant editor of the Bugle, but now he's in charge of the Bugle since Jay Jonah is now in charge of this app that does the Spider-Man following. And, you know, it's more sensationalistic. And, you know, Robbie Robertson's kind of like, Jonah, you're kind of a huckster. You're kind of a muckraker. And they have a bit, they're not getting along because Jonah's just not considered a real journalist, perhaps, by Robbie's mind.
Yeah.
But Jonah's like, Robbie, the Bugle's making no money. I'm making all the money. You guys, nobody cares about you guys being a newspaper. And meanwhile, Robbie's kid is dating a supervillain who is the daughter of a supervillain that has real problems with Robbie Robertson. So but it's like a Romeo and Juliet kind of a thing going on. And also Kingpin is trying to assemble tablets that will give him unseen, horrific supernatural powers or something. And he's got Baron Mordo involved, and we know him from the Doctor Strange world. So everything's hitting the fan for poor Peter Parker.
Well, I mean, that's usually how it works out for him, right? I mean,
it really does.
I mean, if it was just Peter Parker just hanging out. Yeah, he never wants to grow up. He just wants to be a spider all the time. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if he had a normal life, that'd be kind of boring. We don't want to see him doing his laundry unless he's fighting someone while doing his laundry.
Yeah, so that's what's happening in the world of Spidey, and it seems like they have an issue that comes out every 2 days. It's just nuts. I was two issues behind, and I thought, my gosh, I are you kidding me? Meanwhile, all my other books haven't come out. So it's like Spider-Man is definitely on an accelerated calendar when it comes to releasing issues.
I love that. Another show that you've been watching a lot, which I've talked about having seen the first episode and still liking it, we're going to keep watching it, is Resident Alien. And it's interesting because it's on the Peacock app, and it is also on the Sci-Fi channel. So,
hey, well, Sci-Fi is owned by Universal.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was like trying to figure out what the hell was going on with that, but yeah, so we're watching it on the Peacock app, which is free for people, and you can spend money to get all the extra episodes of The Office or whatever, I don't know. But Resident Alien is fun because it's got Alan Tudyk on it, and BJ, you've managed to see all the way through for the first season finale.
Yeah, they had the season finale for us folks watching on the live TVs, and I think you probably, if you have On Demand, you should be able to get most of these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one, Rev, because you've just watched the first episode, and, you know, obviously you know what he's trying to do. I think the first episode covered the fact that he's there to destroy the planet, but his ship got damaged, and not only when his ship crashed, the device that he was going to use to destroy the planet is lost. So he needs to go out there and find it. There's also a bit of a mystery, you know, as far as the town is concerned, because there's been a murder.
Yeah, it's a murder mystery. Dun, dun.
Yeah, it is, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Talk about how he learned how to speak English by watching Law and Order. Yeah, I will tell you this. There is really cool resolution. What I like about this show is that just when you think you should hate somebody, like, okay, I should really hate somebody, or just when you think you should like somebody, they give you some more information. This show will continue to give you some more information. You're going to see some flashbacks, Rev, to be able to learn a little bit more about certain characters. And it was a great finale. I really don't want to say a whole lot because I didn't know you were going to start watching it.
I wasn't planning on watching it either, but we had a little bit of a show hole, and I was like, well, BJ really likes this, and I do like Alan Tudyk. He plays some very strange characters through all across television and movies.
And voice acting, too.
Absolutely. He's played a chicken.
Oh my God, he's played a chicken, he was Lord Wesselton in Frozen, he was also something Weaselton in Zootopia, which was a relate, but he's been in pretty much everything.
And there's another animated show where he plays the devil that actually follows, followed Resident Alien, so it was like he was the star of this one show, and then he's the voice of this animated show that followed on Sci-Fi.
Well, I don't know if you know this, BJ, but it has been renewed for a second season.
Very excited about that.
So you can keep on watching it without having to worry about whether or not Sci-Fi is going to cancel it.
And they did. I mean, I like the fact that they're ending the seasons where it could be the end of the series. I think that everyone's learned that you better do that. You got one season, end it, and at least end the storyline. So in case you don't get renewed like American Gods, that way you can go, all right, well, I can see that being the end. So this end looked like it could have been the end of the whole series. But you also could see how, and then they could go on if they want to. And, Rev, I there's not much else I can say about it because you haven't seen all the cool stuff, but it is done well. I really enjoyed it. There's characters that have great interactions with each other, and it is a fun show, but it can be dark at times, and he is just tremendous. And it's a great study of humanity, actually. You'll find yourself getting some warm moments in this show where you're like, oh, wow, okay, I just got hit in the feels and didn't expect that. It is, because ultimately it is a show about our own humanity whenever you have a fish out of water alien story. And of course he wants to destroy the entire world. And well, we have to have this show tell us why maybe he shouldn't. And
so,
and examples of humanity are the way to do it. It's clever. It's well done. I don't know if Joey D should watch it because perhaps he will get his suspension of disbelief would be challenged again. I have a friend of mine that actually I was surprised he watches this the show, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I've been watching it, and I want to talk to you about the finale." And yeah, he's one of those guys. How did this happen? And this didn't make logical sense. And this did, and I'm like, yeah, dude, you don't understand. We have to suspend our disbelief. The line has been moved. Line has been moved. They're not going to change. We are the ones that have to change.
I know what we can do.
What?
Joe, we're going to watch these shows altered.
There you go. Get hammered. Have fun.
But then I won't be able to remember them.
I think it might be the best.
Yes.
You can feel the emotions of watching it as opposed to the anger of the logical fallacy.
There was a green alien.
I thought he was funny. He said some stuff I don't remember.
And think about this, Joey. If you are trash, at least you have a real reason to call him Captain Falcon.
There we go. Which I will do continually till the end of that show.
I love it.
Yeah, so Resident Alien, like Rev said, it's on Peacock and on demand if you have cable. It's a fun show.
Also on the streaming services is on Netflix, we have Space Sweepers, which sounds
somewhat uninteresting to me. When I first saw it, I thought it was one of those like Marie Kondo cleanup places. Like, oh, we need to clean up our space. And so I just disregarded it. Like, just looking at the name, moved on from it. But it's actually a sci-fi space opera, which means, BJ, you've had to have watched it.
Dude, I'm glad you're talking about this because of the fact that I think this just got released and not enough people knew about this. And it's really sad. It's, I believe, Korean made. So it is in Korean language. You can get the American dubbed version, or if you want, you can just watch it in its original language and just subtitle it, which I like to do myself because I really want to hear what the actors sound like. I think it's better. This is a really good movie. It's a movie, and it's set in the year 2092. The special effects are really good, and I really believe that that these guys put their heart and soul into this. You don't know any of the characters, as far as I know, any of the actors, and that's always a fun thing to see the stars from another country and how they're doing. But the storyline is really awesome. I mean, there's basically a bunch of junk collectors, and their job, because there's so much crap up in space of all the satellites that have been put up there, you literally have to go up there and have people go clean it up, or it's going to do a lot of damage to the satellites you want to keep. So these space sweepers, that's their job. And there's definitely a have and have not situation. The Earth is really in bad shape, so you kind of want to go live somewhere else. And there's this, it almost like Elysium, there's this like Elysium type of ring that's been built way above the Earth, and I think you can like take an elevator to get there. And they've recreated an entire living area that's just basically utopian, but, well, I mean, are you rich? Do you have a lot of money? Might you be a white guy? Well, then, yeah, you can go live there. But if you're everybody else, it sucks. And so that's the storyline. And these junk people are basically, they're trying to earn as much money as they can cleaning up junk. So obviously they're not the good folks that get to go live there. But then there's a humanoid robot by the name of Dorothy, who's known to be a weapon of mass destruction. And so these space sweepers accidentally get involved in this whole Dorothy business, a risky business deal, trying to make a lot of money, not realizing they could be handling this WMD that could be the worst ever. And of course, well, you know, there are powers that be that don't want that happening. Sure, they don't want them involved. And it's really, I mean, it's a good movie. It's a lot of fun. And nobody knows about this. It's free on Netflix. It's Space Sweepers. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think you will, too.
And I really, if you don't, there's one actor in it that you might know of. It's Richard Armitage, who played Thorin Oakenshield in Peter Jackson's The Hobbit. So he was like the King Dwarf. So he was one of those.
Spoiler alert, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
No!
There's at least one actor who has been in through some of those things. But yeah, like you said, most of them are relatively unknown characters or actors with that.
But they're good. I mean, there's a female lead, Captain Jang. And again, you know, I think a great role model for people who feel like they're marginalized. And a lot of women just never got to see good, strong characters in sci-fi movies back in the day. And she kicks ass. I really, really enjoyed her character.
Some other movie news out there. There will be a sequel to Venom, which another one of those movies that a lot of people poo-pooed on, but I really enjoyed watching it just because it's a faithful take on 90s Venom. So I felt that was really good. Plus, it has Tom Hardy in it. It's badass. Well, they're doing a sequel called Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which for all intents and purposes, we look like we're going to be having Woody Harrelson as Carnage because he was shown, spoiler alert, at the end of a post-credit scene in the original movie. So they've been hoping to, you know, film this and get it out there, but obviously the pandemic has pushed many movies back. This one has been moved back to, hopefully, September 17th.
Oh, so this year.
Supposedly, September 17th. Obviously, because of the way things are going, anything can change. So we're going to hopefully get it by the end of the year. I don't know what'll happen with that, but hopefully.
I feel like we should because we are getting Black Widow, right, in July or August or something?
Yes, yes. Black Widow has been changed, and I think it is
July 9th.
Thank you very much on that.
So if they're going to release Black Widow, there's no reason why, even though I think it's probably not the same company, but there's no reason why Venom can't be released.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it's a Sony product, so yeah, they're definitely still doing the Spider-Verse without Spider-Man. They've been kind of planning all of these things, so being able to see Venom and Carnage would be super fun with that.
Still got to see the first one, and now it's not free anywhere. I miss my window.
Oh, is it not on Stars anymore? Because that was where I caught it.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Oh, well.
Can't find it.
Well, we'll scour the internet for you, BJ, and hopefully we'll find you a copy that doesn't have a computer virus on it or something.
Well, or maybe I'll just probably have to buy it.
Oh, yeah, you know, I guess that makes more sense.
At least.
Yeah, totally. You can do all of those things. I forgot about that.
I guess I can.
Another thing that's very fun is that James Gunn is finishing up Suicide Squad, and he's also working on the Peacekeeper, the show that is with John Cena's character for HBO Max. Those things have been tying up his time, but he is still working on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. He sent out a tweet a little while ago back on April 5th that says, "Our designers and visual development geniuses are busy creating new, fantastic designs of other worlds and alien beings. I'm not sure the galaxy is big enough for all this magic. This one is huge. I'm excited. #Vol3.
Now, so, I know that Thor Love and Thunder is coming out. Are we going to see Thor in Guardians for a little bit? I mean, they teased us at the end of Infinity.
Well, the poster that I've seen is a fan poster, so never mind. I was looking at that there's Thor right at the bottom of it, but it's a fan poster, so I don't know if I can or not.
I did hear that a lot of the Guardians folks are going to be in Thor.
Yes.
But I don't know to what extent.
Like, yeah,
and quick pop in, maybe, who knows?
We don't know necessarily when it's going to be happening. It looks like Volume 3 has been confirmed to start shooting by the end of the year, and they're widely expecting it to land in the summer of 2023, but because of all of how all the movies are being pushed back, like we just talked about, it's kind of up in the air when it comes all down to it. But it's still being worked on. We don't have to necessarily worry about whether or not it's going to be made, because it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, since you're talking about that, I just wanted to give a quick nod. I know we didn't really make mention of it too much, but Star Trek First Contact Day was actually a week ago. And,
oh.
And I didn't realize this. Star Trek First Contact is 25 years old, that movie.
What?
That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Arguably probably the best Next Generation movie that they made. And I can't believe it's 25 years old. But they had a whole bunch of panels and things that they did with Paramount. Paramount's really, you know, they're going all out with really supporting us folks that went and got the Paramount Plus app. Before that, CBS All Access. Lots of great reveals. Looks like Q is going to be in season 2 of Picard. Very excited about that.
I know Gareth Von Kallenbach sent me the teaser, and I was like, you should probably send that to VJ. And I immediately talked to you about it, and I was like, so how excited are you for Q, man?
Oh, very excited. John DeLancey's a great actor, and Will Wheaton got to interview both him and Jean-Luc. And people are... Jean-Luc or Patrick Stewart. Patrick said he didn't want to give any spoilers, but everybody is so smart that they are analyzing every word that Patrick Stewart said.
Oh, jeez.
And people are thinking we might get to see some past stuff, which means we may get to see an actor cast to play a young Picard, and we might get to see some Stargazer stuff, which was a ship he commanded before the Enterprise. And if you know Star Trek, you know about the lore of the history of Stargazer, only because of the ship that they show in the teaser is his Stargazer ship.
Oh, wow.
There's a certain time where he says something in his monologue for this little teaser where they focus on the Stargazer, so people are all of a sudden going, you see, you can't have nice things. Easter eggs will always be found out.
It's like a 2-minute trailer with a 30-minute breakdown video there.
So we may get a young Picard. Is he going to be played by the same guy who played young Charles Xavier?
Oh.
James McAvoy.
Wouldn't
that be funny if McAvoy right. decided to be?
Just everything that he does.
We talked about Venom. What's his name?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy did play a young clone of Picard in Star Trek Nemesis. It was one of the first gigs he ever had.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like he's too ruggedly handsome. And
he was very
now.
He was very thin, Vicky. Mm-hmm. If you look up a picture of him then, mm-hmm. he was super thin.
I think I remember seeing that picture.
It is weird, but I have never been so torn on a trailer before, because they introduced what was probably going to be the Q storyline, which I have been begging for since episode 1 of Picard, but then they also spoiled that it might be a time travel season. So in my head, I'm like, no, what do I do?
Well, Q has done that before, Joe. He's taken Picard back in time, and in a way, he did it in a way that wasn't so timey-wimey and blew our mind. So we'll see who knows if it's flashback or time travel. They also talked about Discovery. They showed this Star Trek Prodigy, which they gave us a little bit more information about this ragtag group of people in the Delta Quadrant. So it's basically going to be a bunch of aliens who know nothing about the Federation that come across this basically derelict Federation starship that's equipped with an emergency command hologram. We remember the emergency medical hologram, which Robert Picardo played the doctor so well.
Mm-hmm.
And the emergency command hologram is Janeway. It's patterned after Janeway. And
yeah.
They finally released the cartoon version of Janeway, which looks terrific.
I think it's going to be on Nickelodeon.
Yes.
Awesome.
It's a kid's show, but I'm so excited. And Kate Mulgrew's excitement about this was something.
Yay.
And also, LeVar Burton's daughter, Mika Burton, has now become like a super cosplay and also Trek host.
Yeah.
And she is just, she's killing it. I just want to give her some love because and Will Wheaton even said, you know, it's First Contact Day, but this movie's older than Mika. You know, it's so cool, though, to see, like, you know, Trek fans of all ages and new Trek fans coming along. And Prodigy, I think, is going to be one of those things that will introduce this whole Star Trek world to a brand new set of kids. And you know what? I love that.
That's always exciting. And I know that one of our friends, Kayla LaFrance, who was a King of the Nerds, she was super excited because Janeway is her favorite character. And she's had a chance to even speak with her and interview her and do some stuff in the recent years. So I saw the art of her in that just by her post. She was so excited for that. So anything new in the Star Trek universe is going to get people excited. We'll see how Joe deals with that time travel aspect.
Whoops.
With it. Yeah, but I mean, you know... Yeah, have an open mind there, Joe.
And a cool Discovery trailer for season four, a cool trailer too. And new uniforms again.
Totally. And yeah. Now it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what you got?
So sometime last week on our regular day job on morning radio, we did talk about this list, and I wanted to bring it up here because it kind of made me go off a rabbit hole.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
go down the rabbit hole.
You don't want to know where I go, man. It's weird.
That might be the right terminology, BJ.
I'm going to go up and down and just bloop, bloop.
Oh, dear.
I gotta get off the rabbit hole, man. It's just killing me, this rabbit hole.
No, it actually, as somebody who has ADHD, yes.
Okay.
But we were talking about how the website Listverse came together with the 10 most surprising TV deaths out there.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And I'll go through them pretty quickly because I want to get into something else.
Okay.
First one it has to be Ned Stark from Game of Thrones. Like, no, he's not going to die in the last episode of the first season.
And then his head becomes separated from his shoulders.
And you're like, what? What?
And you know what? Like, the thing was, is a lot of people may say a different person from Game of Thrones might be their most surprising death, but that one set the tone for the entire series.
Yes.
And at that point, is when you realize nobody on the show was safe.
Yes.
Nobody is safe.
And that's what really sold me on the show. Like, the first episode, the first time I watched it, I may have been a little inebriated. I really didn't care about it. And then up until the last two seasons, I was nothing but obsessed with this show. Yeah. So,
that's why I don't go to weddings. I just
that's a good excuse. Anymore.
Especially if somebody's wearing chainmail underneath their
that's
suit.
That's a fact.
We got Bill Hendrickson from Big Love, Maria La Guerta from Dexter, Susan Ross from Seinfeld. She was Jason Alexander's character's fiance. Maude Flanders from The Simpsons, Jackie Payton from Nurse Jackie. Was that the actual Nurse Jackie died?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Did it end the show? I didn't watch the show. Like, it seemed like it would end the show, right?
It was pretty much done.
Okay.
Peace.
Jimmy Darmody and Nucky Thompson from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, Jimmy Darmody, yeah.
Darmody.
And that was big, too. That was a big one.
Zoe Barnes from House of Cards. Christopher
Moltisanto.
Is it Moltisanto, Moltisanti?
Oh, is it? Well, is there an E on the end? Yeah, it's Christopher. All I remember was
Christopher. Christopher from The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And then Roseanne Connor from Roseanne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we were talking about, you know, Ned Stark, obviously Sean Bean, the joke is he dies in everything.
This is true.
And I was curious to see how many people have died. Like, what's the biggest number of on-screen deaths? Because I've thought about that. Like, there was an interview, I think, with Johnny Depp, and he was saying something like, I think, you know, is it kind of weird that Tim Burton just keeps hiring me to, at the time, like, just keep killing his wife? Like, is there some sort of hint message under there?
Wow.
Like, and so I thought that
was an interesting point.
Funny. I'm like, how many people have died and how many movies and everything? So there are a bunch more that beat Sean Bean. I think Sean Bean's only died 23 times on screen.
23?
Only.
Only?
Only.
Only.
So, yeah, someday we'll have to look at per capita because it feels like he dies in everything he's in, but you say there's more.
There's more. Actor Eric Roberts. He's the brother of Julia Roberts.
Oh, yes.
He has 35 on-screen deaths.
Wow.
He has such a, face.
He played
plays a jerk.
He played the master, and I don't know if he actually died in that Doctor Who 1980s TV movie. That's where he was the master in that, and it's, some people don't know what to make of his master, but. I
had no idea he was in Doctor Who.
He was liquid goo for a while. I know that in that movie.
he
actually died.
He was in The Expendables. He was Maroni in The Dark Knight. He's that face. So you're like, that guy.
That guy, he's probably going to die.
Literally, if you go to his IMDb, he has all these credits. And it's like, announced, pre-production, filming. Like, everything. He's in everything. Next one is Tom Sizemore. He is in Saving Private Ryan. He has 36 on-screen deaths.
Damn. He's one of those character actors who you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, him. And he's done some bigger roles, but also he's kind of usually the side, for lack of a better term, expendable guy. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those that it makes sense the more you think about it.
Yeah, in my head I was thinking maybe someone dies multiple times in a movie, and that's how they're padding these numbers.
Oh, man, if you did that, I wonder how many deaths Tom Cruise would have because of
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say he's not on this list.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Then you would think Bill Murray.
They're not counting Edge of Tomorrow.
I was like, Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. Didn't he try killing himself
a
couple
times? Very true.
Yeah, right?
No, but not on the list either. Number 8, we have to go back a little ways, even past BJ days, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe?
Bella Lugosi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? The original Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did he die? He died a lot, huh?
36 on-screen deaths.
All right, Bella.
side note, when I was looking at this list, I had an idea for somebody, and I was like, I hope he's on this list, and he is, and we'll get to him in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Number 7, John Hurt. He passed away in 2017, but he had 39 on-screen deaths throughout his career.
Is he the British actor?
I think so.
Yes. He was in the movie.
He was an alien.
Yes, he was. There was also a movie with Dane Cook and Kevin Costner he was in where he played basically like, the vision in the head of the Kevin Costner character. And it was one of those
Mr. Brooks?
Yeah, Mr. Brooks. And he was creepy in this. I don't know if they counted that one because I don't think he was a real person. I think he was just kind of a figment of imagination.
But I mean, if he dies, he dies.
Right. I wonder if they, and I guess they count regeneration as a death. He was the war doctor in a Doctor Who movie. And
I guess when you
regenerate into another doctor, I guess that, yeah, your body's gone. So, okay.
Does Josh Brolin get credit for dying as Thanos?
That was only 2, though, right?
Yeah, he did die twice, but I don't know how many other times he's died in other things.
Ooh, yeah.
another oldie, horror legend Boris Karloff had 41 on-screen deaths.
Oh, look at that. He was Frankenstein.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dennis
and also the voice of the Grinch in the cartoon.
Was really? He really?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
He looks very, you look at a picture of him, you're like, I could see it.
That kind of makes sense now.
I could see his fist.
Wow.
Dennis Hopper has died 41 times on screen throughout his career.
That's a lot. And the only one that I can remember because it was one of those things that just was like, it's a place that I'll never be, but it's kind of a reminder. But in Speed, he dies because they're on a subway train. And he gets pushed up as a sign is going over the train and he loses his head.
Oh, gosh.
And so I was like,
whoops.
Excuse me.
That's what happens right there.
Don't go, buddy.
If I am ever in a situation where I'm on top of a subway train, I know to keep down. So I don't hit whatever is on. I'm never going to be on the subway train like that. So it doesn't matter.
He was also in Waterworld, that gem.
Oh, yeah.
And he was also in Blue Velvet. If you haven't seen it, it was weird.
It is. Well, I mean, it's the guy who did Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of his movies.
Oh, David Lynch?
Yes, thank you.
Literally back in the day, Gen Zers, we had a thing called Blockbuster before Netflix was a thing. And so my parents had the you can get as many as you want, but you can only rent out twice at a time. And so my boyfriend at the time would go to Blockbuster and I'd always see it. I'm like, this looks so pretty. Blue Velvet. Okay. And we watched it. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm sure it's good. I do not recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward. Number 4, Vincent Price. 41 deaths on screen throughout his career.
He did a lot of, I don't want to call them B horror movies, but they're the lower level horror movies.
If you're a horror fan, you are a huge Vincent Price fan.
Absolutely. 100%.
That cackling voice at the end of Michael Jackson's Thriller and course, the creator of Edward and Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, if you
that's
remember.
I wonder if they count that because I mean he was an old guy and then he died.
Did he? I think he died on screen.
Vincent was had such a he had such a great voice. He played even though it was a weird villain for Batman in the 60s show, because I never heard of anybody named Egghead in the comics. Maybe they existed. But he played his character Egghead and everything was it's exquisite and excruciating.
Oh.
Any EX word he would just use word eggs.
He was a creation by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. So he was a real villain.
Wait. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Excuse me, not villain. He was a character in Marvel Universe, funny enough.
Who?
Egghead.
Oh, it's a different guy.
I know, but that's so funny. Apparently, he's one in the DC comics as well.
All right.
Well, it's just, yeah.
They're just taken from each other,
but the
I guess.
Look, yeah, the look he has as Egghead is a little ridiculous.
But he was great. Vincent Price was great in that.
Number three is Lance Hendrickson. He's from Aliens and Terminator.
Exactly. And he, I know a lot of people like to say, I think it's Bill Paxton is the guy who's been killed by a Terminator, an alien, and also a Terminator, alien, and a Predator. But Lance Hendrickson was as well, because he was killed by a Predator, an alien versus Predator. So not just a Predator. So
look at that.
He has 51 on-screen deaths.
There's three of them at least.
All right. So the last two, I'll give you guys hints.
Okay.
One is no longer with us.
Okay.
He has a phenomenal death scene in a very popular fantasy series.
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, who? Okay.
I can't. What is his name?
What's his character's name?
What's he do?
Snape.
No.
No. Alan Rickman.
No.
It's not Alan Rickman.
It's not Harry Potter.
Good guess, though.
Fantasy, not Harry Potter.
And I know this one because I've known it from before, but it is another master of horror would be Christopher Lee.
He has died 60 times on screen.
Most of the time because he's the bad guy in horror movies. Again, it's the same thing with Vincent Price.
Is he the one who played Duke? About when he got his head cut off by Anakin? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Too.
Yeah, that's when I was Dooku.
I forgot.
Yeah. I was literally about to ask that if he was Dooku.
I think you're thinking of Saruman.
I was just thinking Saruman,
Yeah.
See, again, 60 on-screen deaths, but the number one is the one I'm like, it has to be this guy. It has to be. Because I've seen him die more than anything.
Who?
Danny Trejo. 65 on-screen deaths.
Good old Danny.
His head was kind of walking around on a turtle in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's the most memorable one I have.
And he's such a badass, it's hard to believe he's been killed that many times.
And I've heard that he actually likes to play the bad guy and to get killed to show basically that, you know, crime doesn't pay.
Which is hilarious. Like, I had the chance to meet him. We were at a concert, not last year, but the year before, and he showed up with his food truck. He is a tiny man. And he was so sweet. Like, anybody who wanted a picture, people were bringing up their babies, taking pictures with him. He was loving it. He's just, like, an awesome human being. I'm glad I got to meet him.
Hell, Netflix is going to have to pick up American Gods, so he's a chance for 66.
That's right. He was Mr. World, at least in one iteration. So we'll have to see how that goes on there.
Does it count if it's, like, a different iteration that gets killed?
You know what? I'm going to count it. I'm going to count it for this one.
He's got to keep his lead. I mean, he's number one and one of the ones that are still alive. So he's a gem.
Yes.
I love him.
Absolutely.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.